Catherine Tegan Books and Harper Audio present A Home for Goddesses and Dogs by Leslie Connor. Performed by Patricia Santomasso. 1. All Things Boxy. You'll be all right. You come from strong. That had been my mother's refrain. One of them. I would have given anything to hear her say it again. Right then, in her voice. But that wasn't going to happen. All I could do was think those words. Not the same. Lydia Bratches Kemp. Don't feel lonely for her. Not right now. Don't feel anything. Tuck it away. I buckled myself into the front seat of Aunt Brat's boxy car. Funny. Boxy car, a box on my lap, and outside the window was the little box of a house that I was leaving behind. We could never name the color of that siding. It wasn't white enough to be white, not yellow enough to be cream. The grayish stains the house wore down its front could not be named either, though Mom and I had once tried. "Look, it's changing color," she'd said. "It must be bored. What do you think we have there, Lydia? Dove feather gray? Maybe iris mist?" Today, the thin line of aluminum that framed the windows picked up a dull bluish light from somewhere in the winter sky. The outside of the house was nothing like the inside. Mom had spent the 2 years since my grandmother had died personalizing the place, as she'd called it. She'd made little stone and mosaic altars to the seasons on the windowsills with a glue gun. She'd painted moon art on top of Grandma's worn-out wallpaper, and we'd lettered lyrics and poems across the jams and around the light switches. Mom called it our happy retaliation after the fact. We'd loved Grandma the way one loves a family's most difficult member, but she'd made that house feel like a trap. No wonder Mom had wanted us to let loose on the place once Grandma was gone. Now Mom was gone, too. It may sound impossible, but I was prepared, as much as one can be. When it came to death, Mom had been everything from mad to matter-of-fact to jokey and irreverent, and, I'd always thought, forgiving. Her bluntness had made some people uncomfortable, but I'd grown up with it. We had talked about the day I'd be finally fully orphaned. We'd talked about Aunt Brat, too. She was my last of kin. I'd go live with her one day. And here that day was. It just happened to be New Year's Eve. I cupped my hands on the sides of the box on my lap. The driver's side door opened, and I watched my aunt let herself into the car. She swept the fabric of her long boot skirt in with her. She slammed the door shut against a gust of Rochester's winter breath. I had watched my aunt in recent days. She was tall, and even inside the tiny rooms of the little house, she'd managed to take long strides. I could hear that skirt swishing. When she'd reached up to empty the kitchen cupboards, her arms seemed to sweep up there, almost like she was performing a solo stadium wave. It seemed familiar, though she'd only ever visited a handful of times. Grandma and Aunt Brat had never gotten along. Mom had always said she longed to see her older sister more. They'd stayed telephone close. Well, less so in recent years. After Grandma died, I figured Aunt Brat would visit, maybe even a lot. But then I'd overhear Mom lying to my aunt on the phone. We were fine. Her health was good. It wasn't. "You've got your job and a busy life, Brat," Mom would say. "I'll let you know when things get dicey with this cruddy heart of mine." I'd felt bad for my aunt these past few days. She wasn't as well prepared for this as I was. I had cried, plenty. But if death was a dog of a thing, and my mother had said it would be, Aunt Brat seemed harder bitten. She had lost it more than once, convulsing into tears as we'd cleared out the little house.
"I'm sorry," she'd said when she'd broken down in front of me. "I just wish I had known Holly was failing."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?